Hello, everybody. Welcome back to Hoops HD. College basketball fans, this is another Under the Radar podcast. I'm your host over here, Chad Sherwood. Next to me, the puppet himself, David Griggs. Mm-hmm. And joining us again from bracketeer.org, Rocco Miller, fresh back from a Under the Radar venue, in fact, yourself, Rocco. You want to give a little, start with a little report on what you saw tonight?
Yeah, absolutely. Just got back from Princeton St. Joe's. It was a fairly good battle. St. Joe's controlled most of the game. It came down to Danny Kennedy, one of the better players on Princeton, had 26 points, fouled out on a chippy call with a couple minutes left. And after that, the wheels were completely off for the home team. So St. Joe's escapes with a 10-point win. And, you know, I think in either scenario, these teams would need to win their conference tournament to get into the real tournament. So,
right.
But it's definitely a fun game, cool atmosphere. And, Chad, you were right about the Princeton band. They had a lot of funny antics during the other team's free throws.
Oh, okay. I thought they weren't there tonight, but that's great.
So I didn't see them at first. And then there was like 15 of them you know, they did some funny things like sing happy birthday.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, they sang happy birthday. They were singing The Lion Sleeps Tonight. I mean, there was a lot of good stuff. It was quality entertainment.
Yeah, one of the most fun bands to watch in college basketball. I know our colleague John Titel would not be happy to hear me say that. But
singing happy birthday is pretty – that's a new one. I've not heard that one before.
He missed, too. Yeah.
David, this is our Under the Radar show, and so let's take a quick step back. And can you explain to everybody what it means to be under the radar?
Real quick, it means that you're not in a regular multi-bid league, or I guess a better way of putting it is that you're in a conference that most of the time only gets one team in. We'll get into this a little later. There might be one or two leagues that are looking at multiple bids, but generally they're not regular multi-bid leagues. The regular multi-bid leagues are the Power Five. That's the Big East, Big Ten. Or I'm sorry, the ACC, SEC, Big Ten, Big 12, and Pac-12. And then the five other leagues that regularly get teams in are the Mountain West, the Atlantic 10, although probably not this year, West Coast Conference, Big East, and the American. Yes. So it's everybody else from the other 22 leagues. The other disqualifier, and we've actually got two now, is that you can't be ranked in one of the regular human polls. Furman ranked number 25 currently in the AP poll, and Buffalo, I think, is at 16 or 17. They're in the teens anyway, so not under the radar. You can't be if you're ranked in the top 25.
Right. So while we will be talking about those two conferences, we are not going to be specifically discussing those two teams. We talked about them Monday night in our Hoops HD reports. But what we like to do on the show, actually, is start with a feature conference. And I didn't warn either of you guys that this is going to be our conference, so it's a bit of a surprise for you, I'm sure. But
I can't wait.
We normally go with a conference that's done something outstanding recently. Obviously, the Southern one come to mind, although given that Furman is not eligible, I thought I'd kind of go the other way and talk about a conference that has been a major disappointment, I've thought, so far. There they are, the Missouri Valley Conference.
Chad, what the hell is that?
What?
Is that the Riverwalk?
Yeah, that's a picture of a river.
Okay, we seem to be having a little bit of screen pop here. You got my screen.
I mean, that is a really big disappointment.
Is that a preview for the Alamo Bowl with Washington State? Yeah.
That might be. Let's try one more time here, guys. Let's see. Did that work?
No, yes, it did.
Okay, all right. Thank you.
There we are.
Yes, that was a picture of the Riverwalk. If you're anyone going to the Alamo Bowl, San Antonio, beautiful place. So a little San Antonio tourism. You could send the check to Chad Sherwood. Okay. What are we doing here other than screwing up the show?
I don't know. Anyway, but to your point, yeah, we were really big coming in. Loyola Chicago, fresh off the Final Four a year ago, opens the season with a loss, but everybody stubs their toes a little bit, but at no point has Loyola looked that good. That includes tonight. They're down double digits currently to Ball State at home. In the event that they didn't win this, it would be their third home loss. Not looking good at all. Southern Illinois kind of stumbled out of the gate. They lost their first two and then got destroyed by UMass. Just blown out. Really shocking result. But really, they won their fifth in a row tonight. They beat a pretty good St. Louis team. So Southern Illinois, while it took them a second to get in step, might finally be in step. But nobody else really is. The Trees getting beat really bad tonight. Indiana State at home by North Texas. North Texas is a good team. We'll get to them in a minute. But, yeah, we thought this would be a multi-bid league. We really liked both Southern Illinois and Loyola. And Illinois State was another team we were kind of big on. None of them living up to what we thought they would do.
Yeah, Rocco, I mean, how about this Illinois State team? San Diego State's a good team, but they lost at home to them by 10. And then tonight, Illinois-Chicago becomes and beats them by almost 20 points.
Yeah, it's very disappointing. We had high hopes because they went out and got a great schedule. They, you know, Malik Yarbrough, their star player, has had all sorts of distractions throughout his career, this year included. They found a way to get him in without suspending him, except for, I think, for the first exhibition game. Still hasn't mattered. They've really struggled. It looks like more on the defensive end. I mean, Illinois-Chicago put up 94 on them tonight. They had another loss to Belmont where they allowed 100. You look at they had the chances in the tournament, and they were out there and played Georgia in the first round, lost by 12. So the opportunity is now gone for them to get in at large. I think, you know, I like Coach Mueller a lot. He's a good coach. I just don't know what's going on right now. But the way the whole valley is shaping up, it looks like a one-bid league. And that's unfortunate because I know we all love this league, and it's great when there's a couple teams in the at-large mix, which there usually are. It's just not looking that way right now for this year.
I guess we should talk about the one team that has the great record there, though. David, I'll pull up their profile here on the left. What about Drake? I mean, not a team we've discussed at all yet this season. Off to a 5-1 start against a lot of nobody, but start.
Yeah, they are off to a 5-1 start, so at least they've beaten the nobodies that they've played. But like you said, that's if my math is right, four of those came against sub-200 teams. So essentially what they've proven is that they can do what 200 other teams can do.
A few good tests, because they got the big Iowa State test. I believe that's part of the that Big Four Classic coming up the 15th. Game against New Mexico State also coming up. I think that's part – they're in the is that in the Hawaii tournament, game against New Mexico State?
The Diamond Head, I think.
Diamond Head, I think it is.
I think it is, yes, and I also think
the Big Four. Is that still going on? They're doing it one more year. Okay.
No, I'm sorry, guys. The New Mexico State game is in the Las Vegas tournament, which also has San Diego and Washington State. So that'll be a fun one. I wanted to make a comment on Drake real quick. They got a grad transfer from UAB, Nick Norton, who had a triple double against North Dakota State last weekend, and he's been putting up big numbers throughout the year. And, they hired Coach Dorian DeVries, who was a 20-year assistant from Creighton. And obviously it's they're pretty good at finding these guys after a coach takes off. Like last year was Nico Medved, and he did a great job in his 1 year here. So they might have something brewing. I think they found some instant talent to give them a jolt. And now, they got wins over Boise State. And Texas State's had some good results. So I would give them credit for those two wins. I think those are pretty decent wins.
And I've got coming up here on the screen, the right side of the screen, this is the upcoming schedule for the next week in the conference. I guess maybe we circle the Loyola versus Maryland game. Not much. We'll see a lot of teams have a lot of off days with finals coming up next week also, I believe.
Dubuque visiting Northern Iowa. Okay.
Yeah, next Wednesday night, Murray State, Southern Illinois could be a good one. You mentioned how hot Southern Illinois is, and Murray State, a very good team out of the Ohio Valley Conference.
Right, yeah. If anything is worth watching on that list, it's that one.
Let's swing on back to the beginning then and go to the America East. Just a quick notice, something that's changed in the scoreboards since prior shows there on the right side. You see the games in blue and games in red. Those are non-conference games. Blue games are wins by the conference. Reds are losses by the conference. So, teams with conferences with lots of red are the SWAC and the MEAC, and this is decent for the American East, about 50-50 there.
Well, here we go. Right into it. We got a lot to get to. Stony Brook off to another big start. They got another nice win on the road tonight. just 8-1, and I believe that's their fourth or fifth true road win. So really nice season so far for them. We weren't all that big on them coming into the year, but I've been very, very impressed with them so far. And another team, Vermont, despite losing virtually everything from a year ago, 5-3.
5-3 against D1 Rockwell. This Vermont team, back-to-back road wins as well for them over Towson and George Mason.
Yeah, and if you want to go back 2 days before that, they had a road win at GW, so that's right. three straight in a 5-day window. That's really impressive, no matter who you're playing against. So they look really tough so far. Anthony Lamb is still there, who's been an all-conference player, but beyond that, I think it's mostly newcomers. But Lamb's a good enough player that he's making the guys around him better, is what it seems, just from, you know, what I've seen this far. And like you guys said, the Stony Brook story is getting better and better. They've got, I think it's, what, 5 true road wins now?
Yeah, so. I believe it is, yeah.
Yeah.
Let's do a quick pull-up of the Stony Brook profile, in fact. I mean, Manhattan is not a good team at all this year. They struggled with them tonight. But at the end of the day, they picked up the win. And, of course, the win's at Rhode Island, the win at South Carolina. Only lost that. Some have figured out that loss to Holy Cross, but they did lose that game.
Right, yeah. And, again, just not their night, I guess. But
a game at the Mohegan Sun. So maybe they were out late the night before. Who knows?
Well, yeah, it happens to them.
Well, they're looking forward to that Norfolk State game the next night. They've now played twice Norfolk State, interestingly enough. Upcoming schedule here in the America East should be flashing up on the screen right now. We're looking at some later schedules, but Stony Brook this week is at Brown and then hosting LIU Brooklyn. The Vermont team that we just discussed is hosting Harvard, a real interesting game on Saturday, David.
Yeah, that one is. Harvard kind of talented, but not quite there, but that one should be fun. Towson-UMBC, a little bit of a crosstown sort of rivalry there.
I believe that Towson-UMBC game actually is is that the one? That there's a game coming up there in Baltimore. That's a maybe it's Towson somebody else, but it's a battle of the Baltimore type of game or something like that, a neutral court. But
yeah, because they got those two Loyola and Coppin. Right. I think it's Coppin.
It might be Coppin they're playing. We'll talk about that when we get to the Colonial when we see Towson schedule. Here's the A-Sun coming up. How about this?
Yes.
And I'm really, really starting to like what I've seen. Not only out of Lipscomb, who we've talked about all season, but what about this Liberty team here?
Yeah, Liberty went into Georgetown, didn't win the game, but really made a good showing for itself. And, Liberty started off with a win, and you're like, okay. But then they won again, and then they won again. And here they are, 5-2 against D1, 7-2 overall. The net loves them. Look at that net rating. I mean, that is – and I realize that it's still normalizing itself, but that's really high. I don't get how they could possibly be higher than Lipscomb based on – I know Lipscomb is coming off of a loss to Belmont in the rivalry game, but they've beaten everyone else that they've played, and that includes TCU and SMU and some other decent wins. But I don't know. But, yeah, there's Lipscomb.
There's Lipscomb on the right, Liberty on the left. You got Kent State team that – I think it's Kent State's only loss is the loss to Liberty, and it was at home. Liberty's two losses at Georgetown, at Vanderbilt. Lipscomb's losses, maybe
both to Belmont.
Both to Belmont. Rocco, I think it's two similar profiles, honestly, aren't they?
Yeah, at this point, I mean, we don't know what's going to become of TCU or SMU's obviously struggling out of the gate a little bit more. But yeah, the Belmont losses for Lipscomb, that actually could end up being okay if Belmont wins the OVC and gets to the tournament with, a handful of losses, probably like a 13 seed type. I think everybody would forgive them for those two losses. But if Belmont finishes behind Murray State and Jacksonville State, now even though they're bitter rivals from a bracketology standpoint, Lipscomb's got to root for Belmont the rest of the year. So that doesn't, look so bad.
Dave, how about those two games? Okay, go ahead.
I was just gonna say, in terms of the upcoming schedule, the Lipscomb obviously with the tests here, not only the Louisville and Clemson on the road, but Vermont coming up on December 21st at home. We just spoke about that team. But go ahead.
Right, and if they get a couple of those, if they get some of those, then suddenly you're looking at kind of being inside the bubble. But that's assuming an awful lot. But I mean, the ASUN, it's always been kind of a fun league, but I think this is the best we've ever seen it at this stage in the year. Normally, there might be one or two teams that pick up a couple big wins or that get bloated records. Here we are with, look at that, that's three teams above 500, and Jacksonville and North Florida right at it. It's performing at a level that is way above the 15-16 range that we normally see this league in.
In terms of the upcoming schedule, there's really nothing to watch this week in the ASUN other than Lipscomb at Louisville coming up next Wednesday night.
Yeah.
So let's just let's keep rolling here, right on into the Big Sky. Rocco, you being a West Coast guy, your thoughts on what you've seen out of the Big Sky so far? Three teams with only one loss up there at the top.
Yeah, so I like I think Montana is a cut above the rest of the league still. I know Weber State had a big win over BYU where they actually got in a up and down game and put up 113 points in regulation, which was pretty impressive. Yeah. They did have a couple 100-point games against non D1 schools. Our favorites, Benedictine Mesa and but yeah, so Weber State, obviously they want to run and gun. They lost a heartbreaker to Bakersfield, but I like that team. I think they can, if they're good enough to knock off BYU, even when BYU didn't have Emory, I think they're good enough to hang with anybody. And I think I'm a little bit surprised with what I've seen so far from Sacramento State. I think I didn't expect a lot from them this year. They did get beat pretty good by UCSB. Not too much shame there, but they got a overtime win over Fullerton. They beat Davis on a neutral court. They took out Northridge by 20 on the road. Was not expecting that from the Hornets. So that could be another team to keep track on.
Yeah, I guess I'm still at this point in the season, I do look at some of the metrics because that really shows you how well they're playing or not playing. When you look at Sac State, Look at these KenPom numbers and adjusted offense, adjusted defense, 269, 161. It's telling me that they're kind of looking into these wins they've had, and they've only have three D1 wins at the end of the day also.
Yeah.
Schedule will be ramping up,
which is two more than Maine, who we've already talked about that conference.
It's more than Ryder.
Yeah, there's the rest of the schedule, includes some games that are coming out tonight as we record this. Some of these games going on right now, in fact, but including the huge Dave. You want to speak about the rivalry that we're watching being played right now as we record this between Idaho and Washington State?
Yeah, Idaho, Washington State. It was going to be my final thought, but since we're here, yeah, like these two schools are only 8 miles apart, 7.4 actually according to Google Maps. They play every year, but they've never played in the NCAA tournament, and I just can't think of another like rivalry that fits that description. And a couple things about Idaho, Chad, if you don't mind, I was going to pull up their roster here because I don't think people realize how much size this Idaho team has.
Okay, well, I'll take it down here. Go ahead.
Okay, here we go. It'll take me just a second. I believe I got it here. Okay, here we go. Like, you see, they got the 7-footer right there, 6'4", 6'3", and then they got another guy. And then look at an 8'4" guard right there. It is, there he is. If we could, not pulling it up. But anyway, there it is. Yeah, it's George Mason strength and conditioning coach Andy Hendurahan listed as an 8'4" guard for this Idaho team. So if you're not watching right now, you really need to tune in.
I did not know he was 8'4" tall. That is
– playing guard.
And playing guard.
Yeah.
And then he still has eligibility left.
Yes, he did. I don't know. The compliance officer might want to look into that.
So do we have San Antonio back, or do we have the standings?
It's the standings.
Okay, good, good. I guess on that note, I don't know. Maybe we should just end the show now. But Big South Conference. Rocco, Radford teams still impressing you? Despite the James Madison loss, or was that kind of a major bit of a setback there?
It was a little bit of a setback just from a morale standpoint, I think. They were riding high after beating Texas last week. But James Madison, I think, has been a little bit sneaky, better than people thought so far this year. So that win last night cemented it for James Madison. We'll talk about them later. But Radford is a good team. They're experienced. They've got tournament experience. They'll get a chance now. They're on a really tough stretch. They got five straight road games. Texas and James Madison were the first two of the five, and then they go to the Convo in Athens to play the Bobcats, and then they'll go to Clemson and go to Greensboro. So those are that's a really tough stretch. I think if you're a Radford fan, you go 2-3 in those, you can't really complain.
Yeah, and I agree about James Madison. I mean, when you're playing, no matter who it is, that many road games back-to-back-to-back-to-back, it's not just so much the opponent or where you are. It's the accumulation of being on the road so much. And I think, not to make excuses for them, but, like, I think that's kind of what they ran into last night. If you watch the game, they were ahead, but it just at arm's length. Like, it was 5-7 points, and then, like, James Madison went ahead and you know, Radford got the lead back. And I think with less than a minute to go, didn't Radford still have a lead? So it wasn't like they played badly, but I think they're just kind of getting tired.
And maybe the Texas win, while it's a real nice win, I'm a little bit – maybe Texas isn't that great, that given that as we record this right now, they just lost another home game to VCU. So
yeah, back-to-back home losses for the Horns.
So, ouch.
Yeah.
But let's take a look at the upcoming schedule here in the Big South. We can take a look at what Bradford's got coming up. Another road trip here out to Ohio this week.
Yeah.
Yep, the combo, yeah.
That might be the only game even worth watching, though, in the conference, given the, what the rest of the league kind of doesn't have. But
Longwood at Duquesne is a little bit interesting, you know.
Frostburg State at Longwood also.
Yeah.
Big week for Longwood.
Johnson and Wales, is that – I mean, what do they do, sell real estate?
The Big West Conference, David. We got to talk about what happened to Irvine this week.
Yeah, so they're at home. This is an Irvine team that was, and I guess still is, having a really good year. They had some big wins away from home, Texas A&M. And another one, was it against was it South Carolina that they knocked off? Or who was their second? It was much bigger than the A&M win, but it was – God. Yes, thank you.
Here's the profile for you, David, because you're completely unprepared.
Yeah, because I'm completely – St. Mary's. Okay, thank you. Yeah. And then they hosted a Utah State team who we knew was good, but they got blasted. I mean, just absolutely had their doors blown off on their home court in that game. I still like this team. I still like their profile, although Texas A&M has kind of let them down a little bit. But it's kind of hard to feel – like you're a tournament team, not just because they lost at home, but because they lost at home as badly as they did.
Yeah. I mean, Rocco, is there anything out of the Santa Barbara team that they're sitting up there 6-2 on the season now too?
Yeah. They just played the Huskies on Sunday night. I watched the game. That game should not have been that close from a Husky fan perspective, but they've got a couple of nice players that are actually both from the Seattle area. So Knew who these guys were in high school. They're down from the Tacoma area. Armand Davis and Ja'Cory McLaughlin, who was actually at one point committed to UW, ended up going to Oregon State, played there for a year, sat out last year, transferred, and now, you know, he's a Pac-12 caliber player playing in the Big West. And I believe they have their top player back, Max Hedinger, who hasn't played yet this year, but they're saying he's back in the next week or two. So
wow.
I think UCSB is going to be really tough by the time Big West play kicks off. And then, of course, Irvine's already proven themselves. And so, yeah, I definitely think UCSB is right there at the top with Irvine.
Right. And the upcoming schedule of the week, he's got some games that are going on tonight, in fact, including another installment of the Rivervine Cup there.
Yes.
Irvine and Cal Baptist out of Riverside. David, anything else you're looking forward to in this week here?
Nothing more than the Rivervine Cup. No, it is the biggest thing in like college. Like the World Cup final was a pretty big deal, but nothing like the Rivervine Cup.
Obviously, circle that game Saturday. Montana at Irvine should be a real good one.
Yeah, that one should be really good. So that one's really good, yeah.
Colonial coming up on the screen here. Where David, let me throw this one to you because I know you're really high on this Charleston team, what you've seen out of them so far, aren't you?
Yeah, I didn't think they'd be as good this year as what they've shown, but, you know, they're out to a 7-2 start, and they just keep chipping away at it. They don't have any, like, wins that really, really – jump off the page, but they've played really well. They've looked a lot better than anybody else in the conference I've really seen. I'm on board. I think Earl Grant doing another amazing job with a team that that I, again, he's either meeting or exceeding expectations. And I know we say it every week, but you can't overstate how much of a mess they were when he got there.
And Rocco, this is a team that conference I've been a little bit disappointed in the rest of it. I thought we could have decent years out of teams like Northeastern, William & Mary, maybe James Madison. I mean, I guess the books are still out on them, but a little bit disappointed in some of these teams.
Yeah, it's been a little bit opposite of what I expected, but there's been a couple teams I'm intrigued by despite that. I think Delaware and Hofstra are two that have shown some signs of life that I wasn't expecting a lot of this year. Delaware took out a good Louisiana Tech team a couple weeks ago. Obviously, they just lost at home to Navy. So
yeah, they laid a major egg today.
we probably should have taped this yesterday. but I just noticed that. So if you forgive me. But Hofstra, I do like the fact that they took VCU to overtime. That looks a little bit better today. They played Maryland fairly tough on the road. Their only other loss besides that was a close one at Marshall, its first week of the season.
Rock, I'll forgive you again because I know you were at the Princeton game tonight, but Hofstra against a winless, awful Monmouth team barely snuck out a 2-point win tonight. So
a win's a win.
A win's a win. You're right. A win is a win. So I mean, Hofstra might have something, and then, yeah, a win is a win. So it's not going to be awful on the on their
But
Hofstra, good test coming up Saturday against Rider, who I still think is the best team in the Metro Atlantic.
Yes. Yeah, Rider, I think, is still pretty good. They just had a long break without games, and I think once they get back in their rhythm, they're going to be a tough out in that league. Northeastern has been probably the most – you know, they got the Alabama win, and they beat Eastern Michigan, and they won at Bucknell, but they've you know, they lost to Davidson twice, and that early season loss to BU I think still hurts. But Northeastern, I think, would still, from a talent perspective, would be the favorite, despite their 4-5 record.
You got Dave was got Friday night a James Madison at George Mason. That's an old time Colonial matchup. No longer a conference game, but
yeah, James Madison will probably win it.
Conference USA. Again, we keep talking about disappointing conferences, and here we go again tonight. Marshall losing to Duquesne, Western Kentucky losing to Missouri State, Florida Atlantic barely surviving against Mercer.
North Texas won. This isn't really all that much below what we see Conference USA performing. I think part of it is that they just kind of exploded out of the gate in week one and have been tripping and limping ever since then. You know, Florida Atlantic had the big win at UCF. I want to say La Tech went to Wichita and won and then didn't win but made a really good account for itself at LSU. Yeah. Hasn't really done much since. And while North Texas hasn't really beaten anybody that's super good or even certainly not above NIT caliber,
what about this 102-53 win over Texas A&M?
Oh, yeah, well, you know, and again, that's Texas A&M Commerce. That's the good team. A&M's really bad this year. But, you know, getting the win against the Trees tonight, winning at Hawaii, winning the tournament out at Hawaii, they've at least done something.
Agreed.
Yeah, yep. I mean, their only loss was to Oklahoma, and Oklahoma, you know, I think it's a half-decent team at least out of the Big 12.
Right. Yeah, and I saw Oklahoma play last night. So, I mean, they got a super athletic team. North Texas just got Roosevelt Smart back a couple big games back, and tonight was the first time he actually cracked the starting lineup. So, I think this North Texas team is only going to get better as time goes on.
Yeah, but you look at the conference, you say, look, for example, at Southern Miss, something you very rarely see, 4-1 versus D1. 6-2 overall. Yes, that is a non-D1 loss for the Golden Eagles.
They were another team that had a really big win right out of the gate. So,
SMU, yeah.
You know, Old Dominion getting the win against VCU, who just did itself well. But, and then again, like the teams that you would expect to be sort of the front runners, well, particularly Western Kentucky, has just been stonky. I mean, just real bad.
Marshall's been bad, too. I mean, Marshall's been getting killed by teams.
Right, and losing badly at Duquesne tonight.
So some interesting games this week. Maybe we've got Louisiana Tech at Stephen F. Austin, Western Kentucky at Arkansas, Toledo at Marshall. Games worth watching, I think, at least. But
I can't
say any of these games will be won by the CUSA teams at this point. I'm worried about Southern Miss Millsaps.
Yeah, Southern Miss trying to stay above 500 against non-Div 1 teams got Millsaps.
No matter what happens in this league, if it's disappointing or not, they still got the curtain.
They got the curtain, yes.
They got the curtain, and they got this really interesting scheduling format where the final four games of the season will be determined by standings prior to them. So be really
hopefully non-D1 games don't count towards those standings.
So the Miss is already in the bottom bracket. Yeah. Over in the Horizon League, another disappointing loss for Wright State tonight, David. Losing at the buzzer on a buzzer beater against Miami of Ohio.
Yeah, really just inexplicably underperforming. Wright State won 26 games last year. They returned 6 of their 7 top players. Not only did they win 26, they won 26 after losing their first 3. So they won 26 of their last 29, not including the NCAA tournament, returned everybody, and here they are 4-5. Now, to, I guess, be fair, I think 2 or 3 of those losses were either at the buzzer or missed shots that would have won the game. But you're at home against Miami. This is a team that I thought would maybe get close to the bubble. That's how much I like them coming into the year. Not looking the part at all this year.
And as far as the whole conference goes, Rocco, look at all that red over there. A really bad week for the conference, except for the game on Saturday, which really surprised us. That one win there by Green Bay.
Yeah, so Green Bay, I'm really liking this team. Obviously, that was their statement win so far this year, but they did win a little mini tournament up in Eastern Washington when they took out the host Eastern and then beat Moorhead the next day. They've got a Marquette transfer that was eligible at the end of last year, and he's back this year, Sandy Cohen. And when he's on the court and they're playing other under-the-radar type teams, you can tell he's the best player on the court, and he's making the other guys around him better. They've got another guy, Jaquan McLeod, who's starting to really fill it up. So they've got some nice pieces there, and Illinois Chicago, great win today too. But this could be much more than a two-dog race. We could have up to 4 or 5 teams in contention.
Yep. Yeah. Let's look at the upcoming schedule. First of all, I just noticed this here. Detroit this week played 3 games, scored 59 points, 59 points, and 57 points. A lot of consistency there. Yeah. Now, they're giving up 100 a game, but a lot of offensive consistency there for Mike Davis's squad. But
back-to-back nights, ouch.
Yeah. Here is the upcoming schedule. Green Bay there is at Bowling Green, NKU, who we didn't mention yet, David. I don't even see them on the screen there. Are they the week off, it looks like? There they are. They're at Eastern Kentucky.
They go to Eastern Kentucky this week. That's the Saturday.
Wright State at Kent State could actually be a pretty good one. Kent State team that's off to a pretty good start. We'll get to them in a minute.
Also. Interesting note. I'm pretty sure Northern Kentucky is further east in the state than Eastern Kentucky. It's also further north, but
that is a good stat.
Now
we got to get into Charleston Southern being in North Charleston. Yes,
it's North Charleston Southern. I want them to change the name.
Ivy League, Rocco. We just spoke a little bit about Princeton, but what about the teams at the top of the Ivy League, specifically Penn and Yale? Both picked up wins this week, including a huge win by Penn this week this time.
Yeah, Penn
got – what Yale did already.
right. So, yeah, Penn got Miami to come to their building, and that was a big mistake for Miami because Penn pushed them around and beat them by 14. Penn looks pretty solid overall, I think. Their two losses were down in the islands in the tournament and Kansas State and Oregon State. So, Yale, I got a chance to see play in their game against Memphis. I watched all the way up through both overtimes. They had so many chances to win that. A little disappointing they didn't do it. But they've made up for it since. They got another team that beat Miami. So Miami should just stop scheduling Ivy League schools.
Miami's in trouble for the Ivy League. I don't think they hit make
yeah, it. Yeah, I mean, if we were doing the standings right now, they'd be right there below Columbia.
This is probably the closest Rutgers has ever been to an Ivy League school because they've also beaten Miami. Yale looks good, though. I like that team. They play well together. They got a tough one at Duke coming up, but they'll be fine for Ivy League's sake.
And Dave, it seems like every year we like Harvard going into the season. We look at them on paper, and they lose to a pathetically bad Siena team this weekend.
Yeah. And again, I'm done with Harvard. It's Penn's league to win. Penn or Yale. I think it's a two-horse race.
Here's your upcoming schedule. Penn is at LaSalle, another Big Five game that they should win. Princeton's got St. John's. What are we talking about? Yale's hosting Albany, and Yale's at Duke on Saturday.
Yeah, way over there.
Upset?
Head.
No.
Yeah, no.
No upset. No one's called the upset.
Yeah.
I might call the upset for Columbia Boston College, but that's another story.
Right. Yeah.
Metro Atlantic. This is a conference that we generally have some really good numbers, and we're seeing MEAC type of numbers so far this season. Only one team even at 500.
It's, yeah. Well, I guess they've got two teams now in the top 200 of the net. Marist. Yeah,
congratulations, Marist.
Really, 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 really bad.
Rocco, what do you do with this? You just send one of these teams to Dayton and move on?
I don't know. I still believe in Ryder. Mm-hmm. I mean, they've only played four games. Their two losses were to Central Florida and West Virginia on the road. Right. So you can't really judge them fairly yet. But the rest of the league, I mean, I'm very disappointed with Canisius. I'm very disappointed. You know, I think Iona's biggest problem is they had the guy kicked off the team at the start of the year, and that kind of threw everything out of whack.
Yeah.
But don't be surprised if Clues gets them going by March. And then Niagara, why not a shout out for them for beating Pitt?
Niagara. Yeah, Pitt would be at the bottom of the conference standings as well here in the Metro Atlantic. Thank you for huge win there by Niagara. That was, I still can't figure out Niagara with losses to Grambling already on the season, for example.
Yeah.
I think they finished in fourth place in the mini of tournament that they hosted. So
they also did the impossible task of losing to both St. Francis's.
Upcoming schedule there, Ryder-Hofstra game, we already mentioned that. I don't know that there's anything else that really stands out to me for this week.
No, and this will be a fun league once it gets into league play, I think. But right now, there's just no win to be excited about. It's who's going to finish first and go to the NIT, not even host the tournament, because this league doesn't do that part of it right either.
Back in Albany for one final year this year before they move out of Albany. Mid-American Conference, as we mentioned at the top of the show, Buffalo not really under the radar, though they're on the screen there, but a couple other teams with real nice records, including Kent State and Toledo, David. I'm liking both these teams at the moment.
I'm really liking both of them, too. Now, neither one of them have taken out the heavyweights that Buffalo has, but, I mean, both have played really, really well this year. So,
I got to mention Buffalo here. You see, Rocco, they beat Lemoyne tonight, 89-55. This game was 47-47 at halftime.
It was. Wow.
And I don't know what Buffalo did during the first half, but they
made some defensive adjustments.
They made a few adjustments, yes.
Yeah, maybe it's finals week. I don't know.
Yeah.
But you don't want to overlook the Lemoyne Dolphins, as Syracuse learned a long time ago. As far as the rest of the MAC goes, you know, I actually got to see Toledo play at Wright State, the only game they lost. And I was pretty shocked that a week later they were able to go down in a tournament, beat both Louisiana UC Irvine, neutral court. I mean, I couldn't believe that, because I know Louisiana and UC Irvine have good players. Toledo, really just a few shooters. Seems like a streaky team, so I'm impressed with what they've been able to do since that Wright State loss.
And triple digits tonight, even though against a Detroit team that plays no defense, but still hitting triple digits.
Or offense either, but
well, true.
Yeah, it looks like they shot very, very well tonight. I'm looking at the stat sheet.
Mm-hmm. David, there's the upcoming schedule. What are you looking forward to here?
Well, Ball State, I like their chances against Loyola Chicago. I think they might be able to do pretty well.
Okay. We also got Kent State hosting
Buffalo Buffalo Bonnies, big
Toledo
four.
Marshall.
Yeah.
All right, let's just go ahead then, and Rocco, we can take a look at the MEAC.
Yes.
Then we can move on to the next conference after that, I think.
Big win for Morgan State tonight over Binghamton, it looks like.
Yes.
And yeah. So congratulations to Morgan State.
But yeah, Kochman with the win last weekend over Florida Atlantic. There you go.
Yeah. How about the team of the people hanging in there? Just right up there with two D1 wins, just one behind Morgan State.
I like that.
Yep.
Okay. And we'll just quickly show the upcoming schedule. And I guess we can ask how many games are winnable here and against D1 foes. And kind of interesting, this Bethune-Cookman San Jose State game tomorrow.
Yeah, that's winnable.
That could be a fun one.
Terrible. That's very winnable. Howard hosting an American team that's been good at times. A&T, no real chance.
That Morgan State Towson game, I believe, is one that I was mentioning before, is the Battle of Baltimore. Let's just move right along here. We actually already discussed the Valley, so let's jump ahead to the Northeast Conference, and we're not going to get much improvement over the MEAC here, are we? We got a 500 team at least.
Yeah, St. Francis Brooklyn out to a fairly decent start. Great league. I know we say this every week in November, December. Great league, a fun league, lots of good rivalries, and seemingly really exciting games that end in bizarre ways and have crazy things happening, but not a whole lot happening until league play starts.
Yeah. And I don't think you'd really engage these teams this early in the season.
Right, yeah.
There's the upcoming schedule, Rocco. Is there anything that you circle in here at all? Or?
Well, yeah. I mean, I don't know if you guys were watching Mount St. Mary's St. John's tonight, but they were up for a little bit in the first half. So that could be interesting against Lehigh, a chance for them to get a win. And then, I don't know much beyond that. Maybe LIU Stony Brook, but I'm sure Stony Brook will take care of that.
Yeah, they will.
Of course, that is an 0-8 Mount St. Mary's team, by the way. Yeah.
Yeah.
They would have beaten St. John. That would have been a big celebration.
Ohio Valley Conference. Now we can finally get back to some good teams here. And yeah. Two very good teams, although still the book's a little bit out on this Murray State team just because they've only played 5 games, only 4 D1 games so far, David.
Yeah, I was really excited with them with their big win over Wright State, but as the season has played along, how big was that really because of how disappointing Wright State's been? And they went to Alabama, and I was certain they were going to win that game. I just thought that they were a better team than Bama. Yeah. And I know that they were on the road, but, they fell behind by double digits, came back and I think went up by double digits, but couldn't hold on to beat them. I still think that they're really good. I still think that this is a two-horse race. Some of the teams that we thought were going to be okay, Jack State, Austin Peay, not really so much. Eastern Kentucky, who was as bad as they were a year ago, has improved a lot. I mean, I think they won 7 or 8 games all last season. They're already up to 4. But other than that, it's just a two-horse race.
Yeah, Eastern Kentucky pulling out close wins, a 1-point win over High Point on the road, a 2-point win tonight over South Carolina Upstate. Rocco, what about this other horse here, Belmont, picking up the sweep in the Battle of the Boulevard, which kind of resets things back to normal? That's what seems to always happen, other than last year when Lipscomb had the games.
Yeah, I'm impressed that they were able to beat this Lipscomb team twice. I have a lot of respect for Garrison Matthews and that whole Bison squad that they got over there on the other side of town. And Belmont, you know, they could be perfect right now, but Green Bay got them. And so, you know, that kind of shows a little bit about how well Green Bay is playing, because Belmont could be putting a resume together if it wasn't for that loss. They'll get a big crack this week when they go to – I'm sorry, that's actually 2 weeks out, but their next game is actually at UCLA, and then they'll get Western Kentucky and Purdue after that. So we'll find out what they're really made of in those 3 games. But I'm very impressed, and with the way that they move the ball, don't turn it over, and make threes with regularity, they could be a very dangerous team in the tournament.
Yeah, David, there's the upcoming schedule. Belmont with this week off, but Moorhead, yeah. I'm sorry, with Murray with 2 games at Southern Illinois and at Middle Tennessee. The Middle Tennessee game would have been exciting last year. The Southern Illinois game is exciting this year, though, I think.
Yeah, it definitely is.
Over in the Patriot League, Rocco, is there much to discuss here? I mean, we've got some decent records, I guess, yeah. Better than some of the conferences we've looked at least.
Yeah, Colgate with a nice big road win at Columbia tonight. I was, debating whether or not to make an appearance there instead of Princeton. I settled with Princeton, though. Mm-hmm. Colgate's got back-to-back road wins now over FGCU and Columbia. I also think Bucknell has done a little bit more than we expected this year when they beat the Bonnies in OT. They won it at Vermont, which now is looking better and better. And, the loss to Canisius kind of shakes, makes me scratch my head still. But I would have to say Bucknell's kind of almost traditionally now probably the favorite, but Lehigh not far behind. And just because, Lehigh's, they've got five wins. They've got a lot of guys back from last year. Just haven't gotten over the hump for a big win quite yet.
And I'm keeping an eye still on Holy Cross there, David. I think that this is a team, if you look at some of the numbers, some of the metrics, at least they're the best, one of the best teams of the conference so far.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And they had a nice win against UMass, I think it was.
Yes, last night.
Last night, so.
Yeah, and then I don't know if you guys saw the beginning of the year, they were playing Michigan really tough for the first, at least through the first half, early second half.
Yep, that first night.
Yeah.
This week coming up in the Patriot League, not many games again. I guess Lehigh at Mount St. Mary's, we already mentioned that one. Army Air Force, of course, always love the battles of the Service Academy games. Mm-hmm. And Loyola and Maryland, that is a Loyola of Maryland at Maryland.
Yeah, that won't be very good.
The SoCon, again, Furman, not technically under the radar, though they are there on the screen, but there's a lot more to discuss here beyond them. Rockwell, I want to start, though, with a team that maybe one of the biggest surprises here. I don't remember ever seeing Citadel this high in the standings after the first week of the season.
Oh, it's great. Yeah, I mean, they actually have a legit team back. They've picked up road wins at James Madison in South Florida, which for the Citadel is kind of unheard of. And they got a nice win against Mercer last Saturday. Now this week they're looking at a couple more winnable games. So I think it's just coming down to a bunch of these guys have been playing together for a while and it's all coming together. We started seeing glimpses of it last year when I believe it was ETSU that they almost knocked off, or they did knock off. And then I think they won a game in the SoCon tournament.
Yep, they did.
Knock somebody off there. So all those little baby steps at the end of last year have kind of rolled them straight into this year. And now, three of those wins are non-D1, but the ones that they do have over D1 are evidence that this team is going to be reckoned with and a contender.
Yeah, I mean, it's still on that very short list of four teams that have been members of D1 since the very beginning and have not made the NCAA tournament.
That's right.
So yeah, maybe they – this is probably the last team I ever expected to come off of that list, but who knows?
Yeah, I know.
But this league. Yeah.
Yeah, goodness all the way around. The Citadel Wofford. Yeah, Wofford went and took on a heavyweight, and they were kind of right in there with Kansas. I think at the under eight, it was 42-40, and then it was 68-41. So it got away from them a little bit late in the game.
A lot late in the game.
But another team, Greensboro, going to Kentucky, and they had a key player foul out, but up until that point they made a really good showing for themselves this past weekend. So this league's pretty tough, and Furman, who is in the rankings, who's not currently under the radar, it would not shock me if they finished fourth. It really would. With Samford, another team, we just got done praising Belmont. Samford took them to overtime.
Samford, East Tennessee State. You look, they're down on the screen there because they're 0-1 in conference, but they're 7-3 as well. So you got a lot going on here.
Yeah, you look at Samford's resume right now. Their only two losses are an overtime loss to Belmont and a loss to Ohio State.
And they were right in there with Ohio State for a good portion of that game.
Yeah, they gave them some trouble with the zone, right? So I mean, Samford, they got three layups coming up on their schedule. They should be 10-2 before they go to Tennessee. It's a pretty intriguing league for sure. I'm really enjoying following this league right now.
Yeah, fun one.
Yeah, David, here's the upcoming schedule, and I think we could circle this game kind of on Saturday here. Western Carolina at UNC Asheville in the Mountain Rivalry game.
Yes, sir! Western Carolina taking firm in the double overtime, by the way, in the conference opener on Saturday.
Yep.
Now going into the Mountain Rivalry.
Mountain Rivalry game there. Looks like Citadel has the week off, so we can't discuss them, but there's the rest of the schedule you've got there. I guess... let's just move on then to what's up next. How about the Southland Conference?
Yes, we do have a storyline here. It's a weak league, but we can't.
Let's go to the team sheets with this one. But
go ahead and pull it up. And again, Abilene Christian, recent transitional team. It was only a year or two ago that they got off of transitioning up. Was it last year? Or was it the year before?
It was last year. Last year, yes.
Yeah, them and Incarnate Warrior, right?
Yeah, so they came up together. And, you know, we look at what they've done here, and I realize that it's a lot of quad four wins, but they start off, and you're like, okay, they're 2-0. You don't want to react too much to anything that happens early in the season either way. But they're not 2-0 anymore. They're 8-1. And they had a nice win against Campbell. And it was when you look at how they've won pretty decisively. Like, they've been winning handily, and, yeah, they're quad four wins, but up until this year, this had been a quad four team. And only one loss, you know, to Pepperdine, who beat them pretty good, but who else in the Southlands looked better than them?
Nobody.
Yeah, nobody has.
Yeah, they've been the story, definitely. I mean, because, you know, like you said, they've been playing teams a little bit above what their usual tier level is, and they've been blowing them out for most of them. And I think, you know, I think they're finally starting to develop their program. They were, I don't know if you guys knew, but like in Division II, they were a pretty big powerhouse. They were, I think, consistently a top 10 team. Their football program also was up there every year. They have a really strong athletic department. And so I think they finally figured out how to, hopefully figure out how to manage the D1 thing and put some good teams together. So, yeah, I think they'll be in there all the way till the end. You know, SFA has had some big problems early. I know they've got an injury for the season that's killing them. And so, yeah, the league's wide open. It looks ugly by the numbers, but it will be fun to see perhaps somebody new get into the tournament.
And this has been, you know, the last couple of years, but been a lot more fun league than the ones where Cedar Foster just ran away with it. Stories we had last year with Nichols coming out of nowhere, and for example, Southeastern Louisiana as well. Upcoming schedule, very late week here, but Louisiana Tech at Stephen F. Austin. Abilene is not even playing this week. Oh no, they're playing this. They're playing some Shriners. It looks like
Shrinerbach. Yeah.
Athletic Conference. we've got, let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. We've got less D1 wins than there are teams in this conference and had none this week. No D1 wins this week.
Yeah, but the goal was 10, Chad. The goal was 10. We're to 7. We're to 7.
I think the major story in this conference for the last week was the fact that Texas Southern actually had a home game.
Yes. Yeah, not against a D1 team, but a home game.
Congratulations to them. They beat Huston Tillotson, but not by 5 points. After they go and they beat Oregon and Baylor on the road, they could barely get by
Huston Tillotson.
Wow.
So, upcoming schedule, David. Can we see a non-D1? Can we see a D1 win? We can see non-D1 wins.
No. Not D1.
Maybe Alabama A&M.
No. Alabama A&M is still sitting there material, I think.
Alabama State at Boise, Prairie View at Louisiana.
How about Grambling at Monroe? Maybe, like,
Rocco, you got a thought there? Can we see one?
Grambling at Monroe, I do see Grambling's been playing everybody tough, so that would not stun me. Grambling's not going to do it at Central Florida, so That will be my pick. I'll go Grambling. Yeah. Right.
Next week, we're going to have eight.
Going for eight next week.
We're getting the 10.
It's not going to come from Texas Southern because they've got another home game, amazingly, against Concordia Austin.
Not D1.
And Alcorn State's playing Champion Baptist. That's a big one.
Yes. And Alcorn State, the SWAC football champion. So congrats to Alcorn.
Yeah, good for them. Not being in the playoff, but going to the Celebration Bowl.
Yes, going to the Celebration Bowl. South Dakota State, best record, best numbers so far, Rocco, in the Summit. But, still been a little bit disappointing so far, especially with that Gulf Coast loss that I can't figure out yet.
Yeah, and the Tulane loss, too. Those were some head-scratching games for sure. And I thought after they blew out Northern Iowa by 32 that, okay, they're back. And Dom goes off in that game. But a little disappointing yesterday that they lose to Memphis, who's had their problems. Yeah. South Dakota State's got, Dom and David Jenkins, who are just filling up the scoreboard. But they've got to start figuring out how that equates to wins, and especially in games that they should win. So they got to work that out before league play begins, because now they're out of the at-large conversation, I would say. And you've got a couple intriguing teams coming up the ranks in the Summit, like in Omaha, who I watched play Colorado down to the wire, and perhaps some other sleepers that will just get better as the season goes on.
Maybe not Denver, though. They are, as we are recording this, are losing to Air Force in a front range battle. It's about to go final in a few moments here. David, yeah. Here is the upcoming schedule in the Summit. When we look at this, we got South Dakota State hosting Southern. We just mentioned that game. But anything else that really sticks out to you here? Or is it just kind of...
Yeah, just kind of blah. Just the team of the people out at South Dakota State. Oh,
wait. Tuesday night, Denver at Wyoming?
Oh, yes. Front range. We love front range. Those are the two. That's the worst front range game ever, maybe the year both those teams are having. But we still love it.
The Sun Belt Conference. David, how about what we've seen so far out of the top, maybe even the top three teams here? I'm not sold on Texas State yet, but they are 8-1.
I'm not either, but I'm not sold on them, but they are 8-1, and that's kind of hard to ignore. Yeah, no matter who you've been playing, especially if you're in an under the radar league. Georgia Southern again, still playing well. Georgia State 2-0 against the SEC as Coach Ron Hunter pointed out after the game.
They are in first place in the SEC. Congratulations to Ron Hunter, who right. fell down again when they won the game.
It was like Georgia State was down for pretty much the entire game. I mean, I wasn't watching every minute of it.
They were down big at halftime. I mean,
they came back. They actually won at the buzzer. They hit a three to win the game. He falls down. It's always great when Ron Hunter falls down, and which happens quite frequently. And he gets helped up, and then in the post game press conference announces that they're 2-0 against the SEC. They're in first place.
You gotta love them.
Love them.
Yes,
he's outstanding. I like. I still like the Louisiana team, the Raging Cajuns. I'm a little surprised they lost to Toledo still, but outside of that, they've taken care of business. A little bit of a scare with the overtime game against New Orleans. But unfortunately for the Cajuns, they got nothing left on the schedule until Sunbelt played. A little bit of a test with Louisiana Tech coming in 2 weeks. But, Texas State, like you guys said, they deserve credit for being 8-1. That one loss is to the Drake team that we talked about earlier. So we'll see what that all means down the road. Could mean a lot of nothing. It could be more impressive. We'll see.
Yeah.
Upcoming schedule, not much to speak about other than maybe this Georgia Southern Central Florida game Tuesday night. I think that's.
I'm looking forward to that there. One. Yeah. I really am.
Let's see. I think we only got one conference left, and we do. It's the Western Athletic Conference. David, you want to take this? Well, let's start with the top of this conference here, because New Mexico State. It's something to New Mexico that I don't think was legal, quite frankly. 165 in that rivalry game. It was, David, it was amazing.
It really was. And again, this is a home and home, or in soccer, what we call an aggregate. I think that's how they count it. They went to New Mexico, opened up a big lead. I want to say it was close to 20. Maybe it was above 20. New Mexico came back and didn't win the game, but it was a really exciting, emotional finish. And that carried over into yesterday, only it didn't.
And Rocco, I'm putting this in Mexico State profile on the screen here. Two wins over UTEP, their other rival, two wins over New Mexico, a win over Washington State. Some name wins at least, even if they're not, if they're only tier 3 and 4.
Yeah, they look good again. Really good. And of course, I have a feeling the players might have been behind some of that pouring it on and beating the heck out of New Mexico, because of course, Coach Weir left New Mexico State for the New Mexico job last year. So there are some of those same players still playing for the Aggies. Interesting storyline out there.
Yeah, it really was.
So now they go to Kansas in their next game. So, and with the way Kansas messed around with Stanford, who knows?
Yeah, and for 30 minutes against Wofford too.
Yeah.
That's an interesting dynamic, that New Mexico State rivalry. You might know something about this, Rocco. You may not. I don't. That's why I'm asking. Yeah. I'm still a little bit perplexed that when the Mountain West expanded to 12, they did not go with New Mexico State, and they went with San Jose instead. If you ask the conspiracy theory fan, they blame New Mexico for that, for trying to keep them down. But you can't say that the feud is that bad, because they continue to play each other twice every year. But what – and then their coach up and leaves for the other side. A lot of interesting things going on with that rivalry. And while it doesn't resonate nationally, it's pretty nasty in the state of New Mexico.
It is very nasty. And New Mexico State is just more – you know, down in Las Cruces, it's a little bit more secluded. I don't know how much the television markets matter to Mountain West like they would for a larger conference, but that definitely could have played into account. You got a Bay Area school versus a team kind of in the middle of nowhere, New Mexico. So that a lot of times it comes down to those types of TV market distribution opportunities. But, I mean, I live in the Bay Area. Nobody's watching San Jose State.
Yeah.
So I would much rather watch New Mexico State play every night than San Jose, and that would go in football as well. So
right, yeah,
it's interesting.
And I think I give a shout out to this conference overall here. If you look in terms of overall records against all divisions, 7 out of 9 teams 500 at least. What happened last week. Only one loss by the entire conference last week. As good as any conference in the nation last week. Maybe the best.
Chicago State getting a win even.
Chicago State 2-0 last week, beating East West University and then Eastern Illinois. So great week by Chicago State. One of their best weeks in years.
And they actually got a commitment from a recruit that has stars, which is a big deal for Chicago State. Huge deal.
We mentioned for the upcoming week, we obviously have that New Mexico State-Kansas game coming up. I guess that's coming up on Saturday, but there's the rest of the schedule.
Seattle goes to Washington, which
Seattle means, playing very well also, though.
Yeah, they are. They've been fun to watch. They beat Wazoo, which happened a couple weeks ago. I watched that game.
Yeah, that's the only game I've seen them really play.
Okay, yeah. They're a feisty team, and they always want to beat UW, so that will be a fun one to watch, at least, you know, for the first 20, 30 minutes.
Thunder Dan going up against Nevada.
Thunder Dan, yes.
Oh, I hope they can hang in there.
And David, Chicago State DePaul, the Battle of Chicago.
If Chicago State wins that game, I am donating to their general fund.
Are they playing that? Are they playing that at Wrigley?
Oh, God, I hope so.
Maybe Soldier Fields? I don't know.
Yeah. No, we will do something very nice for Chicago State if they win that one. They will win that one.
I guess on that note, let's go to the top 10 list here.
Yeah.
There we go. Top 10 list time. Let's start with some honorable mentions, first of all.
So these are teams that got votes, but
Didn't quite get in. Kent State did not make it. Charleston, Murray, Irvine, Georgia State.
And save the Tigers. Yeah, we got to save the Tigers.
They're always on the list.
We will focus more on that when we get in the MEAC play. But always save the Tigers.
Number 10, South Dakota State. Still getting a little bit of love with Mike Dom there.
Yeah, and they've – well, they didn't look all that good against Memphis, but I like CFC and I think Kent more than them right now.
North Texas off on the basis of that record getting into the top 10 here at number 9.
Yeah.
And at number 8, we've got Toledo. We mentioned how well they've been playing out of the Mid-American Conference, along with Kent State, who did not make the top 10.
Yeah.
And a very good Wofford team at number 7.
Yeah, still like Wofford.
Yep.
Coming
I may have forgotten to vote for them, but they should.
Coming in at number 6 is another Southern Conference team, UNC Greensboro. So we got Furman not even eligible here. We've got two SoCon teams in the top 10.
Yeah.
At number 5, it is Stony Brook, the team we talked about at the top of the show there out of the America East.
Wow. Mm-hmm. A lot of love.
A lot of love for Stony Brook and a lot of love for Radford, despite the setback. They still got some love there, despite the James Madison
loss. I'm smelling a Battle of the Boulevard 1 and 2.
Number 3, Lipscomb. No, they did not. No. The two losses dropped them down to number 3 because coming in here at number 2, I believe, is team we just discussed, New Mexico State, on the strength of what they did to New Mexico. Congratulations to the Aggies sneaking in between the two Nashville schools. There we are, number 1, Belmont.
Yeah, and probably rightfully so. Like the loss to Green Bay, but still a lot of teams to kind of keep an eye on, Green Bay being one of them. But again, the strength of the SoCon showing up there.
I guess on that note, let me go ahead and pull this down here and we can run through both of you here for any other thoughts about for the evening. And Rocco, why don't you start us off?
Well, yeah, I mean, I just want to recap a great experience tonight in the Ivy League. It was my first chance to see an Ivy League game live. It wasn't an actual league game, but in an Ivy League setting. It was different than anything I've ever seen, where you've got one half of the gym watching a Division I basketball game and the other half of the gym watching a 8-year-old girl's basketball game.
Which was the better game?
it might have been the other one. Princeton game got a little out of hand for most of it. So it was very, very cool setting, very family-oriented atmosphere, totally different than any other venue I've been to. And just right next door, you've got, you know, this huge aquatic center, people doing swim lessons. It was really interesting leaving because more people were leaving for other reasons than the actual basketball game.
Yeah, one of these days you got to hit a Penn-Princeton game at a Princeton Penn game at the Palestra.
Yeah.
Our good friend Lee Delvecchio and I hit one of them a couple of years back, and it was just an unbelievable experience. Yeah, and of course, the game went overtime also, so we had a great game. But David, your final thoughts for the night?
Yeah, we talked about this, a little bit, but actually we probably talked about it more than a little bit. But the Lipscomb-Belmont Battle of the Boulevard rivalry is really special. I know all rivalries are in their own way, but this one is unique because there really aren't any out-of-conference, under-the-radar rivalries that rise to the level of this one. They play twice a year every year. The last 4 or 5 games, and maybe even back further, have just been – like really exciting down to the final minute, and in the case of the last two, down to the final seconds. They're 3 miles apart. They're both on the same road. It's a long-standing rivalry that dates back to NAIA, NCAA Division II. Both teams have transitioned up, and they continue to play each other every year. They've been in the same conference before. They're not now. I kind of would like to. I don't know how it would work out. See them in a conference again, because you just want a game like that to mean something more than just bragging rights. But where would you rank it? I'm just kind of curious, because we've always been Manhattan, Iona, Kent State, Akron, as far as your marquee under-the-radar rivalries. I'm starting to think this one might be up there.
I'll tell you, I got to agree with you, at least as far as we've seen the last several years here. This has been probably my favorite under-the-radar rivalry short of the Rivervine Cup.
Well, yeah, short of the river. Yeah.
quick score update. Cal Baptist is only down 5 to UC Irvine at home. If they do win this, they will have swept Irvine and Riverside for the year and won the inaugural cup.
Run the Rivervine Cup.
on that note, I do want to thank everyone for joining us. Let me go back to the screen here. And on behalf of David Griggs and Rocco Miller from Bracketeer.org, I am Chad Sherwood. Thanks for joining us. We'll be back again with more podcasts next week. Have a great week, everyone.